Hello everyone and welcome to Event Talks, a podcast powered by Hubilo, where we discuss event ideas, trends, technology, basically everything and anything related to events with the best of industry experts. I am Juhi, joined by my co-host Zarna, and today we are privileged to have one of the globally renowned event industry experts on our show. Welcome Ashanti Bentelzu. Hello Ashanti. Welcome to Event Talks podcast.
Thank you for having me. Yeah. And you know what I have to say? You pronounced my name correctly, which is rare. So
yeah, we did kind of do some of a little bit research about that.
I love that. I was like, wow, that's brilliant.
Yeah. So listeners, if you happen to be a part of the events industry, then you would have definitely come across the body of work that Ashanti has to display. So a little bit introduction about Ashanti. She's an events entrepreneur and equity and inclusion expert, helping the global events industry become diverse and inclusive. She has been associated with EventMind, a virtual event production company based out of the UK. She's also a co-founder of the global network Black in Events and Diversity Ally. Fun fact, she's also the host of the Event Mind podcast, where she shares content which can help organizations choose the right virtual event platform and design profitable virtual and hybrid events. I hope I did not miss out on anything.
Oh, that's very sweet. You make me sound a lot more interesting than I actually am.
So today we'll be talking to Ashanti and we'll get some good tips and tricks on how event organizers can overcome the challenges that they face while planning virtual events. So let's get started. Ashanti, my first question to you is that choosing the right virtual event platform is a challenge that most of the organizers face, right?
Yes,
what are the things that organizers should keep in mind while choosing the virtual event platform for their event?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's a really, really good question. I think the first thing and is knowing what your objectives are.
Right.
Essentially. Because, you know, one of our peers in the industry, William Thompson, he calls it the destination platform. So your virtual event platform really is that destination platform. It's the base, it's the house with the walls and the doors, okay? It is the car, you know, without the petrol. It's your destination platform. And so it's really important to know what you want the attendee experience to be and also what your objectives are first, because each car is different, right? When we go and buy a car, some cars have a great stereo system. Other cars, you know, have heated seats and maybe, I don't know, TVs on the back of the chairs. So it's really important to know what it is that you are looking to achieve so you can select from the plethora of virtual event platforms that are now available. And each month, I mean, you guys both know, each month there are new pieces coming to the market as well. So it can be quite challenging for new, you know, companies who are first branching out into virtual to choose the right platform.
Right. So yeah, that's extremely insightful. I agree with it. In fact, I was I was doing my research and I was reading somewhere that due to the pandemic, more than 80% of the event planners are either moving their events online or they are maybe considering to move. So in such cases, when there is, you know, high demand for virtual events, it's also important for organizers to, you know, partner with the right kind of virtual platform that fulfills all their demands, as you said.
Yeah, do you know what? And you've raised a really good point. Here's, you know, not only do you need to know what your objectives are to be able to make a choice,
right.
I think looking at another two things. One thing is the customer service.
Absolutely.
Because you, as you rightly said, this is a time where people are really, you know, everything's new and they're learning. And in the virtual environment, for example, things happen, things go wrong. And so the question is, you know, does the platform that you're working with, does it provide you with any support? in those situations, either in the initial stages when you're building, or, you know, during the event being live, what support are they providing for you to be able to make sure that your event is a success? So customer service is really, really key as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the most important things, you know. Customer service is something that is, you know, that enables attendees to have a greater virtual experience. I definitely agree with it. And which brings me to my next question. And it is, what are the challenges that organizers face while planning the budget for the virtual events? And what should be the measures to overcome them?
Yeah, so that's an interesting one, because actually, funny enough, that would have been one of the third pieces of advice I would have given about pricing.
Right.
So, you know, the reality is that, you know, virtual events, they can be cheaper than in-person events, and they can also be just as pricey, depending on all of the elements that you would like to include in that event experience. And it's often not just associated, the costs aren't only just associated with the platform itself, it could be the overall experience. So maybe in your general tech stack, for example,
right,
you're using other apps, you're using other, you know, gadgets and gamification or virtual reality, that can obviously add to your budget, essentially. So the key thing, again, is to A, be clear on what you're trying to get out of the event, and B, prioritize what actually makes a difference, either to the attendee experience or to the data and outcomes that you're trying to achieve. Because sometimes we see people invest in expensive pieces of tech or software, which of course they're free to do. However, what that means is sometimes what happens is that software doesn't actually add any value to the attendee experience, or indeed the outcome that you're trying to achieve. And so it's really important, I think, when it comes to managing costs, just being really clear on what it is you need, what you want, and making sure that the tech that you're investing in helps you achieve those things.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess as the events industry was moving online, organizers were initially quite ambiguous about the budget and pricing. In fact, many of them also considered hosting webinars and on Zoom and other streaming platforms. And I guess soon a lot of organizers realized that there is much more to virtual events and it has to be planned properly. So I think your tips and the, you know, tricks that you gave out regarding the budget planning will definitely help them with that.
Yeah, and you know, you're right. There was a difference between what was happening, you know, at the very start of the COVID period versus what's happening now. Like all markets, right? They tend to even out. People then tend to look at things like USPs. They're looking at quality now. They're looking at speed, you know. So this is a time, actually, it's probably a really good time, where more people, there are, you know, pieces of content just like this one, where you're able to start looking at what the unique identifiers are and understanding where you're best off investing the money, you know, and your budget.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely, yeah. So moving on to my next question, I would like to ask that now that organizers have moved past the planning stage, a lot of things come into picture, like choosing the right speaker and training them. And along with this, assisting and connecting with attendees is also extremely important. So are there any speaker etiquette or attendee etiquettes that can enhance virtual events experience? And how can, organizers manage that?
Yeah, great question. So here's a brand new world, okay? So, you know, there are many people who may have been used to speaking in in-person events.
Right.
But speaking in the virtual context and in virtual environments is different. You know, there are different dynamics and considerations at hand. So the first thing is really setting aside time to train your speakers. Now, bear in mind, most speakers don't think they need to be trained, and they probably don't think they need any practice or rehearsal time. But as COVID has gone on and the longer we've been in the virtual environment, I think even the most experienced speakers are realizing that, you know, the rehearsal time is actually very useful, because the rehearsal time is not only about you delivering your content, it's about how you understand the tech, how you're interacting with the tech. Are you going to be controlling your own slides, or is that going to be done by a moderator? When it's time to share a poll, or when it comes to reading the comments and questions that might be coming in on the chat function, are you able to do that simultaneously, you know, while you are delivering content or while you're engaging in a panel conversation with your peers? There's so many other dynamics at play: the lighting, the sound, the setting of where you're sitting or standing if you're presenting, your Wi-Fi, is that working? You know, if you are, as you guys know, integrating several pieces of technology via live streaming, is the stream working? So there's all of those dynamics. And so the best case scenario is that you train your speakers if needs be, you devote enough time to the rehearsal so that people have to turn up, have to log in, have to either navigate from backstage to main stage, if that's how that particular platform works. They're comfortable that their camera is at the right level. They are comfortable the sound is working. They're comfortable if they need to share their own screen or share their own slides.
Right.
All of those details matter. And so you can't really shortcut that part of the process. So it is very important to now really do those training pieces when it comes to your speakers.
Yeah, definitely. So as you spoke about, you know, training the speakers, because it's the virtual environment, the ecosystem is new for them as well, even though they have years of experience. I would like to, you know, take up a follow-up question or with regard to this question itself. So what are the ways, apart from the tech part, what are the ways in which organizers can facilitate speakers for virtual events?
So when you say facilitate, I guess, do you mean prior to the event or during?
Both the cases, prior to the events, maybe, you know, providing them with the content or the context, and during the event, maybe the tech and the client service part.
Yeah, sure. So one of the, some key examples that I've seen that have been very good for events that I've spoken at is that prior to, I've received a PDF or maybe even a video that outlines very clearly and succinctly what is needed from me. So what information they need from me, and when they need me to turn up to rehearsals, right? We're all now in a world where we get hundreds of emails. And so for me as a speaker, especially if I'm speaking, you know, at more than one event in a day, or definitely in the week, several, I need to know very quickly and easily what it is you need from me. So be really clear, provide a PDF or a video with, as I say, simple bullet pointed instructions and guidance as to what it is you need, where you need me to be, and how I log in. And that's another key thing. You know, make sure you actually send the links that they need, whether it's the panel link, the stream link, whatever it is. Again, help the speaker out, because the chances are, if they're busy, for example, or they've got several other meetings that day, the last thing they need to be doing is fumbling around for the right link, trying to log in just before the event is going live. So yeah, that pre-work is about that kind of consistent and open conversation, ensuring that all people, all the parties are on the same page and they understand what is expected of them and what is going to happen. So providing an overall agenda and structure for the event, and also providing a point of contact, because sometimes once the event is live, people might well have questions. And even for me, who's spoken now on various different virtual platforms, there are always moments when I'm thinking, oh, am I pressing the right button? Am I being seen? You know, depending on what my speaker view is. So having a point of contact that is easily accessible during before and during the event is really helpful as well.
Right. So as you correctly said, that speakers should be trained and facilitated properly with the right kind of training material, context, and tech staff. So that they can be in their right form like they used to be during the physical events.
Yeah, absolutely. So that they are comfortable and they have an ease so that they're able to actually just concentrate on delivering their content well and interacting in the virtual space. Bearing in mind, you know, 9 times out of 10, the speaker cannot see the audience anymore.
Oh, right.
And so you have to work really hard, okay? Sometimes as a speaker, for example, in the virtual context, you've got to be far more animated. You know, potentially hand gestures matter. Your body language really matters. The tone of your voice, the pace of your voice, the pace of your speech rather. So there's a lot more work to be done on the speaker side to ensure that the audience is getting the best of the content, that they feel comfortable, for example, to even ask questions. That's another real issue, right? You know, okay. Often when you're asked, does anybody have any questions? Sometimes you'll get complete silence, you know. And so how do you ensure by design as a speaker, depending on what it is that you're delivering, that there is interaction, that you can get some feedback from the audience to make sure that you're still giving them what they need.
Right. Absolutely. I totally agree with it. Yeah.
So yeah, moving on to our next question of the podcast. We would really like to know, how can organizers or event planners take assistance from client service management and technical staff to avoid any glitches during the event?
So that's a great question. First of all, I definitely recommend getting really friendly. You know, build a good relationship with the technicians.
Yeah.
Right, that's the first thing. And on the technician side, always be open for questions. You know, we had a fabulous experience, you know, very recently with a platform provider. You know, one of their kind of sales representatives was just brilliant, available, accessible, helpful, even during the trying moments, probably when they have explained this process 1,000 times, you know, across their week, their working week, but ever available to answer those questions, to make sure that the event went off without a hitch. And I think, so it's very two-sided now, the relationship that has to be created between the technician, the technologist, and the event organizer now is really important, because you have to trust each other as well.
Yeah.
That's a big thing. You have to trust each other. That when I say, as a technologist, the stream is fine, it's working, or this is how you do it, that's true. You have to trust that the technologist or the technician knows the detail, okay, and is sure that that is the way the process works, so that when you press that button or when you send those emails on to speakers and other people who might be involved in the event, the information is accurate.
Yeah.
At that time. So I think it's about building trust, about building open two-way dialogues, so that when problems arise or where there's a question and maybe time is pressured, maybe the event is already live, you want to help each other and you can work harmoniously.
Definitely. Even we at Hubilo, we have seen that because of event organizers and customers' feedback, we have so much improved our technical glitches or whatever the end moment glitches that we all face during events, be it physical or be it virtual. We have all seen that. So it is really helpful. And because we have gone virtual, the trust is the key factor, I believe.
It is because, you know, when, you know, for us at Eventline, when we have an event going live, we need the technical team. Often we are relying on them, because if you're hosting a panel or you're speaking, you don't have time to go into the dashboard, into the back end of the system and check something or read data. You know, you as prepared as you try to be, you don't have time to moderate the questions necessarily at the same time. So all of these things have to be done in advance, but then you've got to have that trust in the competency of your technical team or individual or point of contact, that they have your back so that the event goes well.
Definitely. So moving on to my next question. What are the challenges organizers face in approaching sponsors and exhibitors, and what tips would you like to share for them?
So that's okay. So I would say, you know, in terms of the challenges some of our clients have experienced, you know, a lot of the time, I think in the early days when the transition to virtual was happening, for example, it was demonstrating the value proposition to your exhibitors and sponsors in those early days, because of course what they were used to, what they were expecting, was an in-person event, and probably most of your partnerships and sponsorship packages were created with that in mind. So I think in the early days it was that value proposition, and the challenge for organizers was if they were not fully aware of or convinced themselves of the value of virtual and what it could bring, it was therefore very difficult to pass that on when they were trying to sell, essentially.
Yeah.
I think time has, you know, evolved, and hopefully organizers now are much more aware of the potential of virtual and how it adds to rather than replaces or downgrades the in-person experience.
Yeah.
So I think the key here is always to think about value. Hmm. What value does a partnership with you bring to that potential client or that sponsor? And design your event in a way, engineer it from the beginning where it does provide value. You know, for example, you guys, your Hubalo platform has plenty of opportunity for sponsorship placements.
Yes.
So instead of just, you know, the boring standard, you know, one banner that can be had maybe on a landing page, now there are various opportunities built throughout the platform to highlight and give sponsorship visibility. And it's your job as the organizer to know where those placement opportunities are, make sure they're there by design when you create your packages and when you're having conversations with your partners, and then be able to articulate that value. And of course, you've got to follow through usually, right? You've got to make sure that you understand how to collect data and also present said data back to your sponsors and partners.
Right. So yeah, just as you mentioned about the sponsorship opportunities and packages that people can foresee their value in the virtual event platforms that are being built nowadays. Eventually, we also found an idea at Hubalo after sponsoring many exhibitors, many exhibitions as well on our platform. We have now designed a new, like we have come out with a new feature that is Exhibitor Central. So where all the exhibitors are allowed, they can put up their product videos, demos, pages. So to attract the right audience and to gather the clients from them. So that also is a great value proposition for them.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And also, you know, think not only about the value of the platform itself. Yeah. You know, now is the time to create that kind of sweet 365 immersive experience for your sponsors. Where, what other places, you know, in your marketing cycle, in other places, how can you give them more visibility and ultimately more contact with their target audience? Whether it's, you know, are you, if you're in a buyer-seller environment where you're matchmaking buyers and sellers, etc., or you're connecting buyers to suppliers, you need to find a way to accelerate and intensify that process for your sponsors. So it's not always just about the platform itself, it's about what other things over a longer period of time. And this is the beauty of virtual and even hybrid events, because you are not just dealing with the in-person event that happens on that 1 or 3 days. You're actually, you are able now to tap into evergreen content, recycling and repurposing content, which gives your sponsors and partners more visibility over a longer period of time. And if you are collating that data, capturing that data, and you know how to reuse it, there's potential to earn more revenue as well, as generate more leads, as well as build your subscription list, as well as build your community. So there's so many benefits to, you know, understanding the value essentially of your virtual or hybrid event, and being able to articulate that in line with the needs of your sponsors and or partners.
Definitely. So as you mentioned about revenue and leads, my next question, which is also the final question of the podcast, as there is so much more to virtual events than just webinars, how can organizers make virtual events an opportunity for ROI and lead generation?
So, you know, that's very much, I guess, the conversation, you know, what we've just been talking about, etc. You know, you've got to know your end goal. You've got to know what your customers, what your clients and community want. Okay. And then you've got to engineer the process. That's the one thing about virtual and hybrid events. You know, you've just got to be really intentional and engineer, design the event specifically in such a way so that you meet those goals. So you're not, you know, throwing darts into the dark.
Yeah.
Rather, you are engineering it so that you increase the chances of you meeting those objectives. Yeah. And so you can create opportunities by working with, for example, the platform that you're with, understanding what the features and functions are, how they actually work, and how you can integrate them with existing tool sets or tech stacks that you have, for example. You know, lead generation is a no-brainer. What we're seeing is that, you know, companies are seeing 4 or 5 times the amount of people registering for virtual events than for an in-person event, whether it's free or not.
Yeah.
That is all lead generation. The question is now, do you have a strategy as an organizer to capture and nurture those leads, whether or not all of those people turn up live to your virtual event? Yeah. Because a lot of great results are coming from the recorded content post live event.
Definitely.
And that's where you can get more revenue. And that's where you can really nurture the relationships that you have started in that kind of lead generation process.
Yeah. So I guess event organizers must be ready with the virtual event KPIs, which are important to generate more business. And they should always like have a funnel ready.
Yes.
To get opportunities which are being created, to get maximum registrations and to enhance the value of those registration or those attendees by giving an immersive virtual event experience.
Yes, and that's key. You touched on something that if you're in marketing, you know about, which is funnels.
Yeah.
Okay, and essentially that is just a pre-prepared, you know, process or system or sequence of actions that have to happen.
Yeah.
A lot of the time people are using email marketing, but you know, a funnel is, yes, something planned. It's a strategy and a plan to build a relationship quickly with somebody who's registered interest in being in contact with you or receiving content from you. And so, yeah, that's a key thing to do in the virtual setting so that, again, you can seize opportunity. And as I say, keep building those relationships.
Yeah, that was really insightful information that we just had actually the entire conversation. So I would like to thank you from behalf of me and Zarna and the entire team for joining us on this Event Talks podcast. We got to learn so much about virtual events and planning, and also about client services and the importance of technicians that we have in this virtual era. I'm sure our listeners would agree with it as well. It was really a great pleasure to have you on our show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.